Well, this evening's Bible reading is from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, that's page 1202 in the church Bibles. And Lou's going to come and read that for us. It's Hebrews 2, verse 5 to the end of the chapter.
It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honour and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Well, the title of the message this evening is Dealing with the Fear of Death. Dealing with the Fear of Death. And we are going to be alluding to, touching on that passage that Lou read for us earlier on. But I'm afraid I'm going to be skipping all around the scriptures. So you can try and keep up if you like. I will give, I think, all the references. Or you can listen, make a note, and check up on me later on. It's entirely in your hands. But if you try and keep up, you will be using your fingers and thumbs a lot, but that's great if you wish to do that. Well, this evening I want us to think about death, and specifically the fear of death, anxiety towards death. And as I said briefly this morning, I want us to do that this evening, not to be sort of morbid or introspective, but to think about the very legitimate concerns that we may feel even as God's people when we consider the topic of death. Sooner or later, death is something we all have to contend with. Many of you will be familiar with the words, if less familiar of the source of the words, but Benjamin Franklin wrote, "In this world nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." If we were to be more biblical this evening, Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It is appointed unto men once to die. And we know that frequently the non-Christian fears death. In the passage that Lou read for us in Hebrews 2, the writer to the Hebrews talks about the fact that very often the non-Christian is in slavery to the fear of death. In fact, the fear of death, the prospect of death, can control the way that the unbeliever lives, the way that they go about their lives, sometimes to a ridiculous degree. But from a Christian perspective, of course, we believe that the non-Christian is right to fear death, because we know that sadly, as unbelievers, when they die, they're going to face the judgment of God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, a terrible prospect for the unbeliever. And that's true whether the unbeliever acknowledges it or not, that they will face the judgment of God once they die. Maybe even we know unbelievers who think that there's oblivion to come for them. But whether they think that way or not, they will face the judgment of a holy God. And yet for us as Christians tonight, we know that death has lost its sting. Death has lost its sting. Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians, where, O death, is your victory, where, O death, is your sting. And yet we must confess tonight, even as Christians, even those who know and love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be anxious when we think about death. Well, John reminded us this morning that it's not God's will that we should be anxious about anything in our lives. We're tempted to be anxious so frequently, aren't we, as God's people? And I think the scriptures acknowledge that for us. The Lord says so often in the scriptures, fear not. He knows that we are frail. He knows that we're sinful. He knows that we're tempted to fear and to be anxious. But it's not God's will for us that we should be anxious about anything. And I think that includes the prospect of our own death. As Christians, we can face death with confidence, not anxiety. Well, why is this so? Well, ultimately, it's because of the Lord's promises to his people given in the Bible. And so tonight, three reasons why we should not fear death as Christians. Three reasons why we should not fear death as Christians. Number one, we should not fear death because we are immortal until God decrees otherwise. We should not fear death because we are immortal until God decrees otherwise. I think one reason as Christians we can be anxious about the prospect of death is that we don't know its timing and we don't know its manner. We don't know when or how the Lord is going to bring us to be with him. We're not party to this information in our lives. That's in the wisdom of the Lord. We don't know when he will bring our lives to a close. But this evening, I want us to remember, I want us to be encouraged by the fact, when we remember the truth that every moment of every day has been planned for us by our sovereign, all-loving, all-knowing, and all-wise God. Every moment of every day has been planned for us by our all-knowing, all-loving, all-wise and sovereign God. And that includes the manner of our death and the timing of our death. And so tonight, as God's people, we should be able to rest in that, that our God is sovereign over the manner and the timing of our death. Psalm 31 verse 15 says, "My times are in your hands." The psalmist acknowledges before the Lord that his times are in God's hands. Psalm 139 verse 16, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass." In other words, we won't live a day longer, we won't live a day shorter than that which is best for us and most glorifying to God. The American preacher and retired pastor John Piper comments, "I want us to see in God's word that God has final control over how and when we die. This has filled God's people with incredible courage and energy and joy over the centuries in very risky circumstances of ministry. Why? Because we are immortal until our Father decides to bring us home. Think of it. Immortal, you are immortal. You are immortal until God's work for you is done. You really will not die. You will not die until God intends for you to die. This is wonderful. I mean, where else would you rather rest than this? You are rock solid secure in God's omnipotent hands, and you will not die except at his decision." Well, maybe some of us have heard of the 19th century missionary John Patton, who was a 19th century Scottish ministry. And reading of his life, it's such an encouragement and challenge. But he went to what was called at the time the New Hebrides in the Pacific Ocean, now called Vanuatu, apparently. They're islands thousands of miles, but relatively close to New Zealand. And they were inhabited by cannibals. And he moved there with his wife and child. And he lost his wife and child to disease, not to cannibals, within a few weeks of being there, of moving there. And John's life was threatened a number of times by the native people. Well, one night, John and a native convert were surrounded by the natives who wanted to kill them and probably eat them. And John wrote of that night in his diary. He said, "My heart rose up to the Lord Jesus. I saw him watching all the scene. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. I realized that I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. The assurance came to me, as if a voice out of heaven had spoken, that not a musket would be fired to wound us, nor a club prevail to strike us, nor a spear leave the hand in which it was held, vibrating to be thrown, not an arrow leave the bow, or a killing stone the fingers, without the permission of Jesus Christ, who is all-powerful in heaven and on earth. He rules all nature, animate and inanimate, and restrains even the savage of the South Seas." Well, we may not face those dangers in our lives, most of us, maybe all of us. We may not face the same dangers and trials, but we can have the same confidence that John Patton had. We can have that confidence that we will live and we will not die until our God decrees that it is right, that it is so. If you like, from a more mundane perspective, our hearts will not stop beating until our God decrees that it is so. We can have wonderful confidence that the timing and manner of our death is totally in the hands of our all-wise, all-loving God. And there's nowhere better for that confidence to be, that the timing of our death is in God's hands. And as I reminded us last Sunday morning, our God will always do what is best for us and what is most glorifying to his name. And surely that includes the manner and the timing of our death as well. Number two, we should not fear death because our God will accompany us through death. We should not fear death because our God will accompany us through death. Well, sometimes I think we fear death because we realize that it's something, or we're challenged to think that it's something we're going to have to do alone. And of course, humanly speaking, it is. We will not face death, go through death at least, with friends or with family. They cannot accompany us through death. And perhaps this brings an anxiety to some of us. And we're also anxious, I think, because we've never experienced death before. Obviously, it's something that's unknown to us, a previously unknown experience for us. But the Bible tells us that one thing we can be sure of is that Jesus will be with us in it and through it. Psalm 23, verse 4, one of the most familiar verses of the Old Testament. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So there's a promise from the Good Shepherd, from our Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be with us even through the darkest moments of our lives. And I believe that that psalm tells us that it will extend to be, or Jesus will be with us, even in and through death. He will be with us. Wonderful picture there in that psalm of a shepherd with a rod who will keep his sheep from all harm, and a staff to guide the sheep. And our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be with us as we go through death. Hebrews 13:5, another very familiar verse. "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you," says the Lord to his people. And surely that's true even through death. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When I pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Many of us tonight will be familiar with Pilgrim's Progress. And if you're not familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, then you need to become familiar with Pilgrim's Progress. That allegory, that picture of the Christian life in story form, written by John Bunyan. And Christian and Hopeful, they're two of the characters in Pilgrim's Progress. And they've gone through their journey, which pictures for us the Christian life. And they've reached the near the end of the road. They can see the celestial city in the background, waiting for them. And they long to get there, that picture of heaven, after their long journey, after Christian's long journey, his long pilgrimage. But then Christian realizes that to reach the celestial city, to reach heaven, he must cross the river. And of course, the river symbolizes death. Bunyan writes this in Pilgrim's Progress. Now I further saw that between them and the gate was a river. But there was no bridge so that pilgrims might cross over. Moreover, the river was very deep. So Christian and Hopeful were shocked at such a sight. But the men escorting them declared, "You must pass through this river, or else you cannot arrive at the gate of the city." Then the pilgrims asked if there was any other way to the gate. The Shining Ones answered, "Yes, but no one else has been permitted to travel that way since the foundation of the world, except Enoch and Elijah, and no others will be allowed until the sounding of the last trumpet." Then the pilgrims began to despair in their minds, and especially Christian. They looked this way and that, but no alternative route could be found by which they could avoid the river. So I think you get the point. Death, going through death, was the only route to the celestial city. All the Shining Ones, the angels say, they all must go through the river, through death, to reach the city. It's been true of everyone since the start of the world, except Enoch and Elijah. You remember that Enoch and Elijah, it seems that they were taken to heaven without experiencing death. But everybody else must take this path to reach heaven. There is no alternative route until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the last trumpet. Well, at this point, Christian struggles. He has doubts and fears about the way through the river, about experiencing death. And then Bunyan carries on. Then I saw in my dream that Christian was in deep thought for a while, so that Hopeful spoke to him further. "Be of good cheer." That's good courage. "Jesus Christ makes you whole." And with that, Christian exclaimed with a loud voice, "Oh, I see him again. And he tells me, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you." They both took courage, with the result that the enemy then became as still as a stone until they had fully crossed over. Therefore, Christian now discovered solid ground to stand upon, and so it followed that the rest of the river was found to be shallow, and thus they both crossed over. Well, what was the truth that strengthened Christian to progress through the river? Well, the truth was that Jesus would be with him through the waters of death. We should not fear death as God's people, because the Lord will accompany us through the experience. Thirdly and finally this evening, we should not fear death because on the other side of death will be immeasurable gain. We should not fear death because on the other side of death will be immeasurable gain. To the Christian, death is the gateway to eternal life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Death will not harm the believer. In Luke 21, Jesus says, "Not even a hair on our heads will perish through death." That was a rather strange thing that the Lord said, reflecting upon that. We know that the hairs on our heads will perish, won't they? when we are buried in the ground. Our hair will perish like the rest of us. It might take a little bit longer, but it certainly will perish. But what the Lord meant was that we will not suffer even the smallest loss through death, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38-39 reminds us that even death will not separate us from the love of Christ. Well, to the Christian, there are many blessings of eternal life. The life to come will be painless, will be sorrowless, will be sinless. We will have fellowship restored. But the greatest blessing will be that of being with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we die, we will find ourselves immediately in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul was facing the possibility of his own death, and he wrote to the Philippian church, Philippians 1:21 following, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." So to die, for the Christian to die, means to depart this life, and it means to be with Christ himself. Elsewhere, Paul wrote, "We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." 2 Corinthians 5:8. You'll remember to the repentant thief on the cross, Luke 23:43, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." As soon as the repentant thief died, as soon as he died, he would find himself in the presence of Jesus in heaven. So once we die as God's people, there's no purgatory where we need to somehow pay the price of our sins or be purified for the life to come. None of that. We will not have a soul sleep, as it were. There'll be no sleeping until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Our bodies will sleep in the ground. That's the reason why the Bible talks about sleep until that time. But our souls will go immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be all gain. So maybe tonight, understandably, we might not look forward to the process of death, the event, if you like, but we should be looking forward to that which comes after. We should be longing for heaven here and now. We should be longing to be with Christ. Well, 5 months before his own death, C.S. Lewis wrote to an American lady. She feared that she might be dying. Lewis wrote, "Can you not see death as a friend and deliverer? What is there to be afraid of? Your sins are confessed. Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave with regret? There are better things ahead than any we leave behind. Our Lord says to you, 'Peace, child, peace. Relax, let go. I will catch you.'" And then Lewis added, "Of course, this may not be the end." In other words, the lady's illness might not result in her death. But then he says, "Then make it a good rehearsal." And he signed the letter, "Yours, and like you, a tired traveller near the journey's end." Again, some of you will be familiar with the Narnia Chronicles. And again, if you're not, then you need to be, so go and do some homework. But those of you who are will be familiar with Reepicheep, who was a talking mouse. Nonetheless, he was a talking mouse, and he longed to reach Aslan's own country. Aslan picturing Jesus, his own country symbolizing heaven. In Voyage of the Dawn Treader, that's the one, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I almost had to revert to Robin there. In Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Reepicheep is going on his final journey to Aslan's country. He says goodbye to the rest of the crew on the ship, and Lewis writes, "Then Reepicheep bade them goodbye, trying to be sad for their sakes, but he was quivering with happiness." Wouldn't it be wonderful if, as we face the prospect of being with the Lord, that we had to try to be sad for the sake of others, but really we were quivering with happiness at the prospect. And so tonight, let's pray for each other as God's people. Let's pray that we too would quiver with happiness at the prospect of being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's wrap things up then this evening. First of all, let us love and praise and adore the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything that was necessary, who did everything that was necessary through his life and death and resurrection to give us the sure and certain hope of eternal life. This is where we go back to that passage that Louise read from Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus shared in humanity's death so that we might not fear it, so that he could be the victor over death. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels Jesus helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And then he goes on in a few verses time. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Let's remember this evening that eternal life is available to everyone who believes. Does that include you this evening? Are you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so are you going to receive eternal life? John chapter 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Are you believing in Christ for eternal life? And then finally, as I alluded to a few minutes back, let's pray for each other. Let's pray that we would not fear death. Let's pray that all of us would have a growing excitement at the prospect of passing through death into the presence of the Lord himself. Let's pray that all of us might say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father God, again we thank you for all that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us to conquer death, to remove its sting, to defeat it in victory. Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to become one of us, that he might defeat death on our behalf. And we thank you that because of that we need not fear death, but rather we see it as a gateway into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for brothers and sisters here. I pray for myself that when we are tempted to be anxious over death, when we fear the prospect of death, Father, that you would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, drive these things away from our hearts, that we might be those who trust you for every aspect of our lives, including the prospect of our deaths. And we thank you that beyond death there is eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to just be so excited at the prospect of that Jesus again will be glorified in our minds and in our hearts. So Father, bless us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.